now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to examine with you, provide you with documentation and facts to back up what I am going to say to you. Again, we are in, there's no question about this. Any person who is alert, awake, intellectually inquisitive, knows something about history, or just follows that inner gut feeling, that intuitive feeling, or somebody who just reads their Bible, all of these people know. They all come together over this basic fact. And the basic fact is, right now, we are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And that happens to be the title of a book that I wrote recently that you can get at paulmcguire.us at a discount. Now, I knew that was a long title, but the way I work is that I will often not go along with corporate trends, marketing trends, or whatever. I will deliberately defy them. And you say, well, that's not very smart. Well, maybe it isn't smart if you're measuring the results or the gain or the end game by traditional methodologies, like how many books are sold. Generally speaking, it's important if you're writing a book to be concerned in terms of marketing with how many books are sold. However, I don't disregard that because that's an essential part of the game, but I operate, or at least I attempt to operate, on a set of higher principles that are derived from a biblical worldview. What I mean by that is simply this. When I make a decision, my ultimate deciding factors are not simply based on numbers, monetary profit, how many numbers of books are sold, and other basic feedback mechanisms that drive our business world and our corporate world. Look, don't get me wrong. If you own a pizza place, you better darn well be concerned with, you know, how much tomato sauce did you make or buy? Did you have to buy the ingredients? I'm assuming you own an independent pizza place. Is the interior of your pizza place presentable? Do people want to sit down and order more than pizza, maybe a small meal? Is the exterior of your pizza place presentable and appealing? These are basics of running any business, including a pizza place business. And so you also want to make sure, if you're smart, that your ingredients that you use to bake pizzas, that you're using in a cost-efficient manner, that you're purchasing high-quality ingredients. In other words, really outstanding tomato sauce. So you're not interested in wasting money. You want tomato sauce that you can get at a competitive price, but you want tomato sauce that is going to taste different and better than your competition. And that would go with whether or not you're going to use like real cheese or imitation fake plastic cheese. Because look, when you go to the supermarket, a lot of the so-called cheeses on pizzas are not even made with real, you know, cow's milk type of food. They're plastic. They're some kind of, it's tragic to have to say this, but it's true. They're made with some kind of petroleum entity dyes, and it's imitation cheese. Well, that stuff will clog your arteries and it'll kill you. Now, the shortcut maneuver that corporate America uses, whether it's ice creams or pizzas or whatever, is they'll buy the cheapest ingredients. They'll buy the petroleum imitation cheese or the petroleum imitation ice cream. And then, so it retains its flavor, they add a whole series of chemicals known as excitotoxins, which amplify and enhance your taste buds so that when you eat this synthetic ice cream or you eat this synthetic pizza, you know, you're bouncing off the walls because it's so absolutely delicious. But you need to understand that the reason that it's like delicious in the sense of almost drug-like in its ability to produce culinary ecstasy. The reason it tastes so good is that it's pumped with these flavor-enhancing, flavor-stimulating chemicals, and chemicals that super amplify the good taste of your God-given taste buds. Now, you may say, well, what does it matter if in the end I have an outrageously good-tasting pizza or ice cream? Sooner or later, people are going to find out that you're not using real cheese. Sooner or later, McDonald's got caught because people discovered, and it's not just McDonald's, it's a whole bunch of hamburger franchises. They discovered that the McDonald's hamburger, with all its chemical additives and imitation flavors, that you could put a McDonald's hamburger, after it was cooked, you could place a McDonald's hamburger on a shelf in the pantry of your kitchen or some other place. And you could literally come back. Now I've heard different amounts of time, so I'm saying people alleged that they left their McDonald's hamburger in the pantry or a shelf and forgot about it. And then some people came back allegedly 6 months later or a year later. And when they microwaved this McDonald's hamburger for, you know, like 10 or 15 seconds, they could not tell the difference in the taste quality between a six-month-old McDonald's hamburger or a year-old McDonald's hamburger and one freshly cooked. Why? Because the McDonald's hamburger was so pumped up with chemicals that it could stand alone, if hamburgers could have had eternal life, the McDonald's hamburgers had a form of eternal life. They didn't degrade and they didn't deteriorate, and they didn't have mold on them, and it tasted just as fresh as when you were going to eat it the day you bought it. The reason for all that is that the McDonald's hamburger, allegedly, from the very beginning after it was cooked, was never living. It was never a living, nutritious food product. It was a chemical, biochemical engineered imitation hamburger. And that's why you could leave it on the shelf as the seasons passed by, and you could come back to it, and that McDonald's hamburger, as well as many, many other hamburger brands, would be just as tasty as the day you first bought it. Why? Because it was never real to begin with. Now, you know, people make shortcuts and think, oh, that's a great way to make a profit. Well, no, it's not, because sooner or later, people discovered all across the United States, a number of people discovered that their McDonald's hamburgers apparently had eternal life and lasted forever. And that meant, even to somebody with a sub-zero IQ, that meant that the only reason the McDonald's hamburger did not deteriorate in taste or quality or anything else is because it was never made with real ingredients to begin with. It was the McDonald's hamburger was made with artificial ingredients and artificial petroleum-based cheese and other things, according to those people who allege that. So the short-term solutions often catch up with you, and then you got really bad PR, and I don't know if they've pulled out of their slump, but McDonald's went into a major sales slump for like a year or more. People were simply not buying McDonald's hamburgers. And why do you think that was? I think in part, and I'm not saying McDonald's hamburgers don't taste good. They do taste good. But the point is, the word got out is that the McDonald's hamburgers were like in a sense mummified and fossilized because they weren't real. They were totally artificial. And that hurt business big time. It would have been better if they had integrity up front, spent a little bit more, and manufactured their hamburgers with real, natural, nutritional, living ingredients. Oh, yeah, after a little while, they would deteriorate if you didn't freeze them in the refrigerator or whatever. They would start to grow mold on them, and they would start to taste stale, and they would start to taste bad. But that's not a bad thing. That's simply a revealing indicator that the reason the McDonald's hamburgers are not tasting so good when you leave them on the shelf is because they're real living food products. And like all real living food products, they grow stale and they deteriorate. So the key, the critical thing is that you want to have integrity and you want what you manufacture to be real, living, have some nutritional value. I mean, if all you're doing basically is whatever hamburger you're manufacturing, if all you're doing is manufacturing a hamburger that tastes good, but the bun is made of cardboard type of ingredients and dyes that make the bun look like it's made out of bread, but in reality, the bun is made with some digestible cardboard-like substance and then dyed to look like it was a bread product bun. The cheese in many of these hamburgers and pizzas is not real cheese. It's made out of motor oil. And then the chemical, the artificial chemical in flavor, flavor enhancers. These are called excitotoxins. And what they do is they're mixed in the food product, like the pizza, the ice cream, the hamburgers, and they make them taste irresistible. Why? Because they're artificially stimulating, artificially amplifying your taste buds. So, truth, integrity, honesty, and let's just put it from a spiritual dimension. If you truly love your neighbor as yourself, if you're just isolating that statement as a cheesy Hallmark card, greeting card statement that has no real meaning or integrity, it's not going to do you any good. But if you choose to live by and operate your business, your life, your ministry, or whatever you do, you choose to operate it on principles like love your neighbor as yourself, then whatever you purpose to do in your job and what you make and what you manufacture, you're putting the needs of your customer, rightly so, above your needs. And so when you make a product, you serve a product, you manufacture a product, because you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to cheat like the big corporations do, which spray all of our crops with some of the most deadly poisons known to mankind and are killing people's brains and bodies. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. You're practicing Nazi marketing principles. Or so there are so many products, medicines, foods, drinks, artificial flavors, artificial dyes. The list is endless. And when you analyze the long-term negative effects of these so-called products, you discover that these products are responsible for killing people, giving people heart attacks, causing dementia, causing Alzheimer's, shortening people's lifespans, killing people's immune systems, making people vulnerable to cancers and all kinds of deadly diseases. Why? Because you were selfish. You put your lust for profits above loving your neighbor as yourself, and you began to manufacture all kinds of stuff, and you knew full well, because you're the top dog in your corporation, you knew full well that what you were manufacturing essentially was a killer. So imagine what would happen in America and other nations of the world if people took seriously the guidelines and principles and commandments of God. So let's just take love your neighbor as yourself as one commandment to endeavor to live and abide by. That means all your decisions in business, making a product, manufacturing, selling, how you present your product, all of it would be based on the operating principle where you put the needs of your neighbor above your needs, and you're investigating your heart to making sure that you're, in practical terms, loving your neighbor as yourself. And so you only make, manufacture, sell, and promote safe, nutritious, life-giving products and manufacturing and so on and so forth. That would cause a revolution in the economy. That would cause a quantum jump in economic progress, in economic stimulus. America used to be like that. The Pilgrims and Puritans operated their businesses and their farms, etc., on the basis of loving God and loving their neighbors as themselves. And therefore, that blessing of God, which brings us to another all-important principle. You see, the Bible is not some kind of antique, antiquated book that's irrelevant. The Bible is a cutting-edge, dynamic, multidimensional book that is communicating to you from God on a multidimensional level. And God, because of his love for you and his love for his children, if you're open to it, God is constantly downloading into your mind, heart, and consciousness 24/7 a stream of viable, positive, love-based serving, servanthood, and good ideas that if you apply them, not only will you kickstart your ability to generate enormous profits, but you will do it with integrity. You will do it. Your business is based on love. But you see, we have drifted away. And that concept, you would never hear that concept brought up in any of the Ivy League schools and their business departments and their marketing departments and their advertising departments. They would hear your talk about loving your neighbor as yourself, and they laugh you out of the room. The professor would ridicule you. And why would they ridicule you? Because your thesis that loving your neighbor as yourself is a transferable concept into marketing, profit, and the expansion of a business? No, it's directly a transferable concept. They would laugh at you and mock you because they're blinded spiritually by their pride, their lust, their greed. Their minds are stuck in the consciousness that they've been programmed to believe in, even if the program that they've been programmed to believe in is based on falsehoods and lies. They're stuck in a box. They're in a prison of lies, and they suffer the consequences. You have to remember that once upon a time in America, when the Pilgrims and the Puritans first arrived in America, they carried with them a deep knowledge of the Bible because they were deep students of the Bible, especially the Old Testament. And they took the principles that God outlined in his word regarding generating wealth, generating prosperity, producing great crops and foods, winning military victory over their enemies, etc., etc. And the reason the Pilgrims and Puritans were so successful and so prosperous and the teachings that they derived from the Bible produced such economic prosperity and such blessing on the early nation of America that all the secular people, including the deists and the founding fathers who were Masons and Freemasons, they were checking out the success and prosperity record of the Pilgrims and Puritans, and they recognized that they needed to change their belief system to whatever degree, because whatever it was that the Pilgrims and Puritans were doing, they were highly successful and highly prosperous. And so when you get right down to it, when you get right down to the bottom line, the reason America prospered in a mighty way in every form of its economy, the reason America prospered in a mighty way was because God gave his people the power to get wealth and to generate wealth, which was based on God's supernatural business contract with the Pilgrims and Puritans, which said that if they obeyed the terms of the contract or covenant in Deuteronomy 28, which is an outline of the blessings and curses, that their prosperity, that God would literally, he promised his people, that God promised his people literally, that he would raise them up and their business enterprises, he would raise them up and he would raise America up above all the nations on planet Earth. And guess what? God did just that. And that's why the American dream was born. And that's why America, you see, there's an assassination attempt that has been implemented over the last 60 years, where the minds of our children and students have been the target of an intellectual assassination where their brains have been blown out by hardcore propaganda and lies telling them that biblical principles don't work in the real world and the real economy. That's a total, total hardcore lie. So, the reason the American dream was birthed in America was because of the grid, the biblical foundation that the Pilgrims and Puritans obeyed. Because God came out and said, okay, here's the deal. God's a businessman too, okay? He's God, he's Lord, but the best businessman, I want to talk to business people, men, women, anybody who's in some kind of, whether the corporate business or government business or independent entrepreneur, what I'm telling you now is applicable to whatever business field you may find yourself in. And I'm going to talk to you from the perspective of a businessman, because I've been a businessman one way or another most of my life, whether it has been as a executive producer of Hollywood science fiction feature films, responsible for the business aspects of these movie productions, the marketing, the distribution, the negotiation on how much we would pay talent, and all the other things. That's just one business among a whole series of businesses that I've had to operate. Even a ministry, even though it's a ministry and it's a nonprofit ministry, a ministry has to, whatever degree, operate on sound business principles. Okay, so as a businessman, I'm going to talk to you as a businessman, and what I'm going to say to you applies to any business under the sun that you may be involved in. And it works in good seasons and bad seasons. And so I'm going to say it really quickly, and I'm not going to pull any punches. If you want to create and invent a highly successful business, here are a few guidelines and rules and principles from God's Word. To the degree that you adhere or synchronize with God's business prosperity success guidelines, that's to the degree you will experience literally supernatural prosperity. So this is how it goes. God tells you in his word, he talks an enormous amount about money and profit and generating an income and a business. He talks about it. He talks about purchasing land, owning land, managing land, real estate, and keeping your land, and all kinds of business challenges. God teaches you about how to be successful in business, and he spends a great deal of time teaching you from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. So let's just very smoothly glide, and I pray that, this is what I pray right now. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that right now that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God would anoint the business principle teachings that I am going to share with your people. And that I pray, God, right now that you would give them a supernatural revelation from the Holy Spirit, that you would supernaturally open up to them the secrets. Now, the secrets that God has for you are a zillion light years ahead of the low rent secrets, like the principles in the book called The Secret. It's not that the principles in the book called The Secret, it's not that none of those principles are viable, because some are viable. But others will lead you astray. So you want to go to a source whose integrity and accuracy is so far beyond its competition that you're almost guaranteed to succeed if you abide and obey the secret principles of God's economy, the secret principles of God's plan for prosperity, the secret principles for God's plan for you for economic growth, business growth, entrepreneurial success, generating wealth, etc., etc. And the nice thing about it is it's very simple and it's very easy. Now, again, you know, Harvard Business School and all the other things, they teach the world's system of acquiring wealth, managing wealth, and creating and marketing businesses. It doesn't mean that they don't have a grasp on a lot of business principles that work, because they do. But even though they can be in connection with a lot of business principles that are proven to work, because in the long term, because in the big picture, they choose not to completely embrace a biblical worldview or a biblical foundation in their personal lives, in their families' lives, in our nation's lives, and in the world of business and the lives of your business, because they have chosen not to really embrace the whole big foundation of business success according to God, they're not going to experience the potential financial returns that are out there. Now, I want to read you just a couple of principles, and I want you to pray and think about them, and then I want to ask you to put them into practice and be diligent about it. And don't approach it with, you're going to try it, and if you don't see immediate results, you're going to bail on it. Would you do that with a diet program? No. You would never lose any weight. Would you do that with an exercise program? No. Most things in life require a certain amount of patience and a willingness to stick with it. And eventually, if you're faithful to work it, whatever that it is, if you're faithful to work it, you will reap a harvest. Okay? So let's begin with the beginning principle. The wealthiest individual in all of creation and all of the universe, and because this is the wealthiest person in all of creation and all of the universe, that would mean that their business counsel, their money-making and profit and prosperity advice, because they're the wealthiest individual in all of creation and all of the world and the universe, that means that their business wisdom would have to be vastly superior to any other being or person or organization. So if you're going to choose which source to get your information from, if you're wise, you're going to go to the ultimate source. The ultimate source is the Supreme Being. The Supreme Being means the ultimate, numero uno, king of the universe. Why go to a receptionist? And I'm not knocking receptionists. You got to go to the head of the company. The head of the world and the universe and all of that stuff is God Almighty. That's why he's called God Almighty. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's above any entity or any being. That's why he's called the Supreme Being. And as such, God is the wealthiest, ultra wealthy. He's the wealthiest, most powerful being, Supreme Being, in all of creation, in all the universe, in all the world. Nobody comes close to him. Lucifer is lusting to steal God's wealth, God's position, God's assets, but Lucifer in the long term is going to be defeated because Lucifer is trying to cheat and lie. Okay, so let's glance at the principles that the Pilgrims and Puritans synced up with. Now, before we do this, I want to remind you that right now in America, we're in a crisis. But if God's people alone, and I'm talking about a remnant church, if God's people alone, meaning the remnant church, meaning the numerical minority that are being faithful to God right now, that are seeking the wisdom of God right now, if God's remnant church, the numerical minority, and that might only be 3% of the population, if you and I would begin to operate according to God's kingdom principles and not simply try to imitate the world's principles, God would then be free, according to his own word, to release upon your life, your business, your ministry, your family, your nation, everything that you're involved with, everything that you're responsible for, would be dramatically impacted for the better. And you would experience, in a guaranteed sense, an unprecedented prosperity, an unprecedented increase of wealth, unprecedented expansion and growth, creative ideas, blessing on whatever product or whatever you're manufacturing, a blessing on whatever service you're providing, in a way that is so far beyond your finite human imagination that it almost seems to be unbelievable. But the fact of the matter, it's not unbelievable. It's 100% true. Okay, so you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We're going to unpack for you in a quick way how you can access, and this is not a bunch of phony baloney, hyper faith, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it type of stuff. This is taken directly from the scripture, and I'm teaching it to you based on a faithful interpretation and a faithful teaching of what the scripture actually says. And if you abide by this and adhere by this, you will benefit. So think about this. America, despite all of its crisis event problems, America, despite the fact that it's under all-out attack by very evil and demonic men and organizations, America, even though it's zooming into an economic and global crisis of unprecedented proportions, America and the American middle class, even though they are being ripped off and stolen from by the globalist elite who represent just 1% of the population, but they control 99% of the world. America, what I'm trying to tell you is based on my lifetime of study. Yes, I will agree with you. We're in the most dangerous place we've ever been in. But if we think outside of the box, and in biblical terms, in order to think outside of the box, we would have to renew our minds with the Word of God so that the thoughts we think, the perceptions we have, the plans that we develop are based on the willful, active renewal of our minds, where we stop thinking like slaves of the world system think, and we start thinking like the children and the sons and daughters of God. And when we do that, it will revolutionize our lives. It will, despite America's dire consequences, if this tiny remnant of 3-4% of the population would begin to repent, I'm serious, and I'm not just saying this to be cute, if we would repent of following the world's ways, if we would repent of imitating Lucifer's ways and the ways of Lucifer's people, if we would repent and follow the truth of the Lord and the promises in God's word, it would not be that long in terms of chronology where we would begin to see all across America, despite what all the experts are yelling in our ears, and they're trying to program us, by the way, we would see in America, the revving up of our powerful economic, technological, entrepreneurial, and business entities. They would begin to rev up. The engines of success would begin to rev up, and you would see, in a sense, to whatever degree God allows it, you would begin to see and hear this deafening revving up of our economic engines, revving up in an unparalleled momentum. And we would begin to see the supernatural generation and regeneration of our economic, social, and business prosperity. And at first, it would be disconcerting. At first, it would be mind-blowing. At first, there would be a lot of Christians, including potentially us, if we gave in to the bad temptation, where we would have difficulty believing what we were actually seeing with our eyes, because what we were actually seeing with our eyes would be the beginnings of the greatest economic recovery in the history of mankind. Now think about that. And before you walk down a pathway in your mind of thought and come up with the erroneous and false conclusion that what I just said is impossible according to the Word of God, before you prematurely shut down that possibility of God's blessing, before you come to the false and non-biblical conclusion that the Word of God teaches that a massive economic recovery is impossible, before you come to that erroneous theological conclusion, which is a product of not rightly dividing the Word of God, I want you to simply stop for a moment. Stop for a moment and take a deep breath in, and then exhale with a deep breath and allow yourself to relax. Quit freaking out because you're being presented with biblical teaching, which is sound doctrine, by the way, which I can back up from Scripture. Quit allowing yourself to experience cognitive dissonance just because you haven't heard this truth derived from the Bible taught to you in a way that was intelligent, a product of rightly dividing the Word of God, and a product of teaching sound doctrine. And that's what I've done for you. Now, this is exciting. I mean, I could jump out of my chair for crying out loud. Look, I went through some of the stuff that you went through too. I heard some of that faith movement teaching, and look, there were some true things that they said, but unfortunately, mixed in with some of the true things that they said, there was a completely, totally out of balanced download of teaching, which was essentially prosperity heresy, false teaching, false doctrine, and a carnal, self-centered lust and complete out of balance and complete overemphasis on the acquisition and the prioritization of becoming super wealthy and driving Rolls Royces and living in mansions and everything else. I'm not saying that in certain cases that is not allowable by God. But when your central focus becomes the big mansion, the yachts, the Rolls Royces, the very expensive private jets, and materialism, when that becomes your main goal and not winning souls and preaching the gospel, I can tell you right now, you have gone off the pathway of sound doctrine, and the devil has ensnared you to whatever degree by appealing to your materialistic lusts, and you are off in the wilderness following false teachers. And that's what happened. So you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because of those excesses, because of that heretical teaching. A lot of people were hurt in life, and a lot of people were scarred to such a degree that they rejected those teachings that were good, beneficial, and true because they overreacted. Okay? And what we want is a biblically sound interpretation of the Bible. Okay, visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. There are certain books that I've written that deal with this subject matter in a biblically balanced way and in a way that integrates with Bible prophecy. Those books are The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, Power from On High, Conquering the Matrix, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1, and then in a big way that deals with this, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, along with Power from On High, and very important, if you want to learn about the dollar, The Day the Dollar Died, all available to you at a discount at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Okay, this is Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. Once again, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Okay. We know of the excesses of the prosperity movement, the blab it and grab it movement, the name it and claim it movement, which essentially made success, money, riches, jets, and mansions their idols. And it also, in a non-biblical way, used those outward signs of materialistic success, they used it falsely as a measuring stick to determine how much faith and how much spirituality you had, which, of course, is complete false doctrine. So here we are in a place where we're literally facing the greatest crisis in the history of the human race. No question about it. We're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And yet, even in the place that we're in, God promises to bless his remnant church if his remnant church will obey his word. And so I want to just give you some bullet points of truth from the word of God on how you and I can obey his word and take back the land and the resources that the devil and the demons and those that follow Lucifer have literally stolen from us. And those thieves would include the Luciferian or globalist elite, who right now are in the process of conquering planet Earth and establishing their new Luciferian New World Order, which consists of a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system. And they have simply rebranded the name of that. They're just now calling it the Great Reset. But don't be deceived, for the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The operative word is the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That means the devil can't devour, kill, or destroy just anybody. The devil can only destroy and kill and devour those Christians who are not anchored in the Word of God, who are not wearing the full armor of God as they should be, who are not clothed with power from on high, and who are not regularly praying to God and asking God for his wisdom, his help, his protection, and his defense. When the devil comes to a man of God or a woman of God that's endeavoring to walk with God and endeavoring to stand on the firm foundation, which is the rock, who is Jesus Christ, when the devil approaches somebody who's endeavoring by faith to stand and operate on the promises of God, the devil is going to leave that person, because it's not going to be doable for the devil to be successful in his attack on a believer that is truly believing in the Word of God. So we learn principles from God's Word, Genesis to Revelation. And these principles, by the way, have been given to us by God to be applied not just in good times. And I want you to remember this with everything in you. The principles that God is giving us in his word are meant to be applied not only in the good times, but they're meant to be applied in the bad times. Now, that's important to understand, because anybody can benefit economically, basically, in the good times, because it's easy. But when all hell is breaking loose, when there's economic crisis, when there's riots on the streets, when there's panic of World War III, and all those things are happening, it takes a remnant church believer. It takes a remnant believer to believe God and walk with God and seek God for his supernatural wisdom in the bad and challenging times. And God's remnant children, it is the desire of God to supernaturally bless and raise up his remnant church people, even in the middle of bad times. And that is an imperative truth for each of us to master. Now, God tells us in his word that God has given us the power to make wealth, that God has given us the power to get wealth. So this is not some man-made indulgent idea. The truth of God's word is communicating to you and communicating to me, and God is saying to us that even in bad times, God has given us the power to make wealth. God has given us the power to be prosperous for his purpose in bad times as well as good times. And we need to own that. See, we all, because we have a fallen nature, we have a propensity for drifting away from believing God at his word. It's just part of our fallen natures. In addition, we live in a culture where we're being saturated with unbelief. We even live in a church culture or a Christian culture where we're constantly being saturated in unbelief. The ticket for accessing the prosperity and the blessing and the wisdom of God is to believe God, to believe the promises of God, to walk in the promises of God, and to put our faith in all of the promises of God. Because unless we put our faith in the promises of God and believe the promises of God and act on the promises of God, unless we do that, we will not be the beneficiaries. We will not be the inheritors of all the blessings, material and spiritual, that God has given us for such a time as this. And I want to emphasize to all of us that God has given us all these blessings for such a time as this. And we live in the last days. So God has stored up his blessings, his resources, his wisdom, his power. God has put it aside, and he has reserved it for the last days and for the last days remnant church. God has reserved it, and we can gain access to it. We can make a withdrawal to it by faith in the promises of God's word. And we can do that now in the last days, despite the Great Reset, despite their counterfeit New World Order, despite the fact that they are thieves and the servants of Lucifer, and they have stolen the wealth of the working class and the middle class because they only represent 1% of the population, but they control 99% of the wealth. But they didn't earn that, honestly. They did it by cheating and stealing and violating the commandments of God. Therefore, ultimately, they are under the curse of God, and at a certain point, you will see God release his judgment and his wrath on all those who were responsible for the killing off of billions of people and doing it to make trillions of dollars. You think they got away with it? No, it only looks like they got away with it. It only appears like they got away with it. God sees everything, and God is going to hold them accountable for the billions of lives that they have destroyed. And God's going to hold them accountable for the vast fortunes they have made because they manufactured the various products that produced death all over the world. So let's go to, again, a passage of Scripture that the Pilgrims and Puritans, they lived in this passage of Scripture. So let me read it to you. I think it's very important. We read it before, but it is so essential, and I explain it in much further detail in my book, A Prophecy of a Future of America, Volume 2. Okay, so in Deuteronomy 28, also known as the Blessings and the Curses, we see a shortened summary of God's basic principles, God's basic biblical principles from his word on how to prosper, and conversely, a warning from God in his word against doing, believing, or acting in certain ways that will guarantee that we receive the curse and the wrath of God on our lives. So reading Deuteronomy 28, the chapter is divided into two sections. The first half of Deuteronomy 28 is a detailed list of all of the blessings of God. The majority of them are economic, by the way. In the second half of Deuteronomy 28, there is a detailed list of the curses of God that will come upon God's people if they violate his word. So let's just briefly read some of the conditions of this covenant or contract that God made between himself and his people. And by the way, we are his people. Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So in these two verses in Deuteronomy 28, we see that God's condition of for receiving enormous supernatural blessing and prosperity, God's condition is, and God's promise to us is this: if you and I and the remnant church, or truly any Christian, if we diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. That means not half-heartedly, not in slow motion. The condition is that when God gives us a commandment, if we diligently obey the voice of the Lord our God, then, and if we diligently obey the voice of the Lord God, and we observe carefully, not just observe his commandments, not just glide over them half asleep, but if we diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, or which also means diligently obeying the word of God. So we need to diligently obey the word of God and diligently obey the voice of God. And if we do that, and then if we observe carefully all his commandments in his word. So if we observe all of his commandments in his word, which he was speaking to Israel back then, so he says, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. So the primary conditions for supernatural blessing, prosperity, and being raised up, these are the conditions. Number one, we must diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and we must diligently obey the word of God. Number two, we must observe carefully to do, to put into action all his commandments, which he commanded them to do, written in detail in his word. And then if we do that, it's conditional, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. So the promised result for obeying the word of God, for diligently obeying his commandments, and diligently doing what he has commanded us to do, the guarantee is that God then promises us, promises you, promises me, that he will set us on high above all the nations of the earth. So that means God promises to raise us up supernaturally. That implies he gives us supernatural favor. He supernaturally opens doors. He supernaturally provides income. And we are raised up. America, because it was following these principles via the Pilgrims and Puritans, the reason America was raised up above all the nations on planet Earth up until the last 70 years was because America, to a significant degree, obeyed these principles. Not perfectly, but it endeavored to obey these principles. So America attempted to diligently obey the voice of the Lord God. America attempted to observe carefully all his commandments, which he commanded the Jews to do in Deuteronomy 28. And that the Lord your God will set you, that's me and you, as well as America, above all the nations of the earth. So if we do these things, God promises to raise us up and God promises to prosper us supernaturally. And he did that for almost 200 years, beginning in 1776. God did just that for America. And so the intensity of the blessing of God in good times and bad times was so overwhelmingly great that God says, in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, or you obey the voice of the word of God. So what God is teaching us, as he taught the Pilgrims and Puritans, God is teaching us that if we obey the voice of the Lord our God, and if we obey the word of God, that all these blessings mentioned, and they're detailed economic blessings, by the way, all these blessings outlined in Deuteronomy 28 will come upon us and overtake us. That means it's like you're running a race and a runner comes up from behind you and passes you by. That means the intensity of God's blessings will be so overwhelming that the blessings, the tangible, material blessings of God will be so intense that they will overwhelm us. That's intense. And if we continue to obey the word of God
Not only will all these blessings come upon us, come upon America, and not only that, they will actually overtake us and overtake America based on this condition, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, or because you obey the word of God. So the blessing promised for obeying the word of God is that all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now here's the critical thing. America, to a significant degree, attempted to live as an imperfect Christian nation, but God honored our attempt at obeying diligently the word of God. And God raised us up above all the nations of the earth. The proof of this is that despite whatever challenges we had, America is the only nation in the history of human civilization. America is the only nation in the history of mankind that ever produced a prosperous and viable middle class. No other nation in human history ever before produced a prosperous and viable middle class. Every other nation in the history of mankind has had only two classes, the super wealthy elite and the super rich, which represent 1% of the population, and then the remaining 99% of the population are destitute, poverty-stricken, and serve like slaves. They live a horrific and bitter life. The only nation in the history of human civilization which broke that rule was America. And the reason America was able to break a rule that has oppressed his people and that has oppressed people throughout human history for thousands of years, because in every civilization for thousands of years, there has only been two kinds of people, the super, super rich and the slaves and the destitute and the impoverished. Because America was endeavoring to obey the word of God, endeavoring to hearken diligently to the word of God, because America endeavored to function based on biblical commandments and biblical principles, America became the only nation in the history of human civilization which produced a financially prosperous and largely free middle-class population that had enough money to buy their own homes, that could aspire to the American dream, that were guaranteed constitutional freedoms and constitutional rights and privileges. Oh, listen to me. Only America produced that blessing for the largest percentage of people who were the middle class. No other nation before in human history had ever been able to do that. So that tells you the all-important necessity for God's people to repent of their foolishness and get serious with God. And that tells you just how important it is for God's people to obey God, to follow his commandments, and to do what God tells them to do. Because when they do that, the American dream was birthed, and God prospered and raised up a middle class. Okay, so this is the final takeaway that I want to share with you. Only America had the American dream. People from all over the world have attempted legally to flock to America to partake in the American dream. However, American Christians, the American people, made a the most serious mistake that they ever made since the very beginning of America. They rejected the biblical teaching of the Pilgrims and Puritans. They rejected the promises of curses and blessings in Deuteronomy 28. America forgot that God was their ultimate source of blessing. And America then, sadly to say, tragically, and we say it literally with weeping in our hearts, America, like many of the nations before it, including ancient Israel, America began to worship the false gods of the pagan nations, which was the other reason that would cause God to curse a nation, to curse an individual, and to curse America. When America began to worship the pagan gods, America began to live under a curse. And so, when America began to reject the word of God, not believe the word of God, not obey the word of God, America placed itself under a supernatural curse. What multiplied the power of that curse on America was the additional fact that America and American Christians began to worship the pagan and Luciferian gods. And so you now have a double whammy of curses being released on America. This pivotal moment happened, kind of exploded onto the scene approximately 70 years ago. So 70 years ago, because the American Christians and the American people rejected God, rejected his word, and began to turn to foreign gods, and began to worship and believe ridiculous satanic nonsense like the theory of evolution, this caused America and the church and the American people to come under the curse, the wrath, and the judgment of God, just as God promised in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, where the blessings and curses are listed. And these are primarily economic, societal, political, as well as spiritual curses and blessings. So for 70 years, America essentially placed itself under a curse. You can trace back all of the problems of America, all of the chaos, all of the immorality, all of the destruction, all of the economic chaos, all of the economic slavery, all can be traced back to about 70 years ago. And so now, for 70 years, America has been steadily moving farther and farther away from the commandments and the teachings of God, and America has steadily been moving away from worshiping the true God only. Now, the Bible tells us, as we sow, so shall you reap. So for 70 years, we have rebelled against God. Now we are on the very precipice of going under the worst curse and wrath of God ever seen in the history of the world. Warned about in the book of Revelation, warned about in the book of Revelation and its explanation of the tribulation period, we are on the precipice of being enslaved by Lucifer, the false prophet, the chip, and the entire beast system. It will be a slavery unlike any other slavery the world has known. So now God is giving us, because we are at the last nanosecond, that's exactly where we are. We're at the last nanosecond. God is speaking to his remnant church through a handful or a relatively small number of ministries and spokespeople, such as myself, Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, and a select number of others. And we are issuing to you the final warning and delivering to you the biblical message that God has put on our hearts. God is telling the church, the remnant church, that if we will repent, if we will diligently obey his commandments, if we will seek his face, if we will worship the true God only, if we will get back into obedience to God, then God promises to pour out his blessings upon us, even in the midst of all hell breaking loose. Do not limit God's favor, his blessing, his prosperity, his salvation, and his deliverance to those time periods that the world says are good. God's ability to bless is not contingent upon any definition of the world or the world system's ridiculous concept of what constitutes opportunities for economic blessing. God can bless you in the middle of an ice storm. God can bless you in the center of a volcano. God is not limited by things that limit mankind. So as we approach the end of the age, we need to remember something, and we need to hear it well. God is love, and God's primary interest above all other interests, please listen to me, please hear what I'm pleading for you to hear. God's interest and passion above all other interests is that God wants to save as many souls as possible, and God wants to bring as many people as possible into eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, God's primary mandate to his people at this moment, just like Adam and Eve had a primary mandate, and Noah and his family had a primary mandate, their mandate from God was to be fruitful and multiply. Our mandate, right now, at this time in history, our mandate from God is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, win souls to Jesus Christ, bring in the last day's soul harvest before it's too late. Our mandate from God is to make disciples or teach the entire word of God to all the peoples. Our mandate from God is to ignite and stand for the truth of God's word and to ignite revival, even if it, humanly speaking, seems impossible. So, that is the mandate of God to you and I. And so we have only two options. One, we obey God, and as we obey God, we will be the recipient of his blessings. Or we can continue to choose to do, which we have done in the last 70 years, which is to ignore God, worship idols, and be the recipients of the curse and wrath of God. It's just that simple. I need you. I'm not going to beg you. It has nothing to do with my pride. I've been called by God to do what I'm doing. It's your responsibility to honor the clear knowledge that you have in your inner spiritual man or woman that I am among those men and women who have been called by God for this hour to communicate the truth by grace, unmerited favor. And so I can say confidently, I can ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am asking you to obey the Lord, and whatever God tells you to give financially, in terms of how much, in terms of a contribution, a gift, a tithe, a financial gift, whatever God tells you to do, I'm asking you to obey him. And I'm asking you also to pray for us and stand with us. And together, as we obey God, we will unleash and open the doors for the blessing of God to come upon us. It's just that simple. Now, you can do that by going to paulmaguire.us. I have devoted my life to this, and I've also risked my life numerous times to do this. But I'm obeying God, and I'm giving you the opportunity today. I'm giving you a reminder that you too can obey God, and you can expect God's blessing and supernatural protection upon your life when you do obey God. So let us covenant together that we shall obey God together, and we will reap the harvest and we will reap his blessings. So I thank you for listening. I hope you take the message that I've delivered to you in the manner that it was intended. And I meant it to be humble and servant-like. So if in my passion and in zeal to communicate to you the truth, you heard anything else than humility or servanthood, I apologize. And I tell you that I'm your brother in Christ, and I love you in the Lord. God bless you. Stand fast. Believe the word of God in good times and bad times, and obey the Lord radically, and you will be blessed and guided radically. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.